Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Thank you for being here today. What a show we have for you. I got to play this clip for you. This is this idiot Ted Lieu. He's a moron. He's one of the dumbest members of Congress, without a question. He represents, what, Alaska, right, Matt? I think he's Alaska, if I'm not mistaken.
California.
Oh, California. All right. Well, he's an idiot, no matter where he is. They still hate Dick Cheney, but now that Dick Cheney is backing Kamala Harris, he's their useful idiot. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. The master of dental implants, named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. Schedule your free implant consultation by calling 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020. Here's idiot Ted Lieu. Take a listen.
Congressman, Kamala Harris tonight touted the endorsement of Dick Cheney. Yes. Did you find that at all bizarre? Is Dick Cheney someone who's fit to judge the competence or character of a president? I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Dick Cheney was reviled by Democrats, rightly so, because he was integral in launching the Iraq War on false pretenses.
Dick Cheney is certainly competent to judge the one issue that matters, which is the preservation of our democracy. And look,
why is he fit to judge that?
Because he is supporting Kamala Harris, because she actually supports democracy.
See that? We hate him. We think he's a war criminal. He should be killed, but he's backing Kamala Harris, so he's our guy. He's our useful idiot. There was a lot of this, if you remember. In fact, Tom Elliott from Grabian has a supercut about this, which I'm going to share for you as well as we continue here today. But I do want to play this. This is the Commission on Presidential Debates co-chair, Frank Fahrenkopf Jr., co-chair of the Commission on Presidential Debates. He was on Newsmax with Greta Van Susteren. And I think he really hits home here the whole idea of just how bad these moderators were in this debate, cut number 11.
Because this is,
and I thought that one of the things that really shocked me last night was the way the moderators handled it. You know, we always explain to our moderators, and we've done 33 of those, Greta, starting back in 1988, that their job is to be facilitators. They're not to get involved themselves. It's different than if you had someone on your show and you ask them a question and they answered in a different way than they'd said a month before, you would correct them. But moderators are not supposed to do that. A debate is between the candidates, not a debate between the candidate and the moderators. And these moderators, as far as I was concerned, it was the worst performance that I've seen. And I've, as I said, I've done 33 of these things over the years. I don't know what their thoughts were, but they clearly were oversized, I think, on the way they treated the former president and the way they treated the present vice president. I think they bent backwards to help her.
See, they bent backwards to help her, no doubt about it. Here's a flashback, supercut courtesy of Tom Elliott and Grabian. Tom Elliott does great work. Grabian is one of our go-to sites. In fact, we probably pull more audio from Grabian than any other site out there. He does great work, and he posts clips of me on Fox News on Grabian. So, you know, I also like that, too, because, I mean, he's got great taste. Anyway, he put together a little flashback. He does these Alapi's montages. And this is the media calling Dick Cheney Satan, a cult leader, and Darth Vader. But much like what Ted Lieu just said, well, now he's back in Kamala Harris, so now he's their guy. So now they love Dick Cheney all of a sudden. Amazing how that works, right? Cut 17.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney and Satan. That's next.
Now, the Sith Lord is back.
Like a demon, it rises again.
Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan.
Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration on how to play this role.
We don't need Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney was, was dangerous. That war.
The only thing you got to do is just be better than Dick Cheney.
I like to see Dick Cheney
do
exposed. He's a liar.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
You were part of the Dick Cheney cult that led to hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis being killed because of the cult you were in.
Cheney dishonestly made up the idea they had nuclear weapons. Just lied. Why do they want these wars? What is it that they don't like somebody because they don't like the look of their face?
Irrelevant national embarrassments, Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney.
I'm old enough to remember Dick Cheney driving over to the CIA to look over their shoulders to make sure they gave him the intel that he wanted so as to justify the Iraq war.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
No apologies, no regrets from former Vice President Dick Cheney for the harsh CIA interrogation techniques.
Under Dick Cheney's tutelage, we got the photographs at Abu Ghraib.
The former Vice President, at one point, signing a waterboard kit.
Cheney, of course, unrepentant. You know what? Go to hell.
I want to talk about a man rotten to his very core, which is in itself a tiny black hole from which no joy or light can escape. The ancient Coptics knew this man as Unhotep, the Dark One, the jagged tooth forest demon who steals our children. We know him as former Vice President Dick Cheney.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
What do you think of Dick Cheney? And people would say, well, amazing. I hate everything he stands for.
I am someone fundamentally opposed to the politics of Liz Cheney and her father, Dick Cheney. I literally started writing books in the first place more than a decade ago because I had so much to get off my chest about what I thought was wrong with the Cheney family approach to war and foreign policy. That first book I ever wrote is literally dedicated to him.
Dick Cheney, profoundly dangerous.
Cheney, I think, was arrested twice.
A master manipulator like Dick Cheney, willing to say anything.
And now as the cascade of misery and death and chaos he did so much to unleash rages anew, Mr. Cheney has the unadulterated gall to come before the country and tell us that it's all someone else's fault. You said there was no doubt Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. You said we would be greeted as liberators. You said the Iraq insurgency was in the last throes back in 2005. And you said that after our intervention, extremists would have to, quote, rethink their strategy of jihad. Now, with almost $1 trillion spent there, with 4,500 American lives lost there, what do you say to those who say you were so wrong about so much at the expense of so many?
No, I just fundamentally disagree, Reagan.
I actually have the endorsement of former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Cheney's the guy who told those guys to lie in the first place, you moron.
Ambassador Wilson wrote an op-ed titled,
"Let me just jump
what
in here for
I
a quick
didn't
second.
Find in Africa,
a quick second.
Exposed
that,
Vice hey, President
pause it,
Cheney's
pause
use
hey,
of false.
Hey, pause. Let me just make a quick point. There's an old saying in life. Judge someone based on the character of the company they keep. Okay? Isn't it amazing? Not just the fact that the left hated Cheney and thought he was a devil and Satan and everything else like this, all that, but the fact that of what Dick Cheney did for foreign policy versus Donald Trump. All right, so let's think about this now. Dick Cheney's president or vice president, but, you know, and we invade Iraq. Donald Trump's against Iraq. What I told Trump back in 2015, what I told him in 2016, what I've always been saying to him, what I said to him in the Oval Office in 2019, they want to stop you because you don't want any new wars. Who does the swamp, the military-industrial complex, want for president? Kamala Harris. Why? Because the Ukraine war is going to keep going. The 51 former national security hacks who all signed that letter about the Hunter Biden laptop, this is the war machine. This is the war complex here. And I'm sorry, but you can look at that exactly that way and say, this is because Trump does not invade countries. Trump does not keep these protracted wars going. Trump was winding down the war on terror. And what happens? Kamala Harris criticizes him for meeting with the Taliban at Camp David. I thought we want to try to end wars. I thought that's a good thing. It's not a good thing if you are in the war business, though. It's not a good thing at all. And Cheney represents that. And, you know, there was a time in this country when the left savaged him over that. But as Bobby Kennedy said, and we played the clip on the show yesterday, the Democrat Party has become the party of war. That's why Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party, too. And the biggest roadblock to Donald Trump has always been he does not want new wars. It's why Rand Paul and Donald Trump get along so well. And this is a great, great microcosm into the fact that the people who run D.C., they were pretty happy with Dick Cheney. You know, they were pretty happy with American intervention. Not so much Donald Trump, and they did everything they could to get rid of the guy. That's why those 51 former national security people all signed those letters. It's the same thing with all these former Trump people who are on board with Kamala Harris, and she's using them in her commercial. Where do you think these guys are working nowadays? They're working in the swamp. They're working in the complex. It's not that hard to see. But now suddenly they love him. And even James Carville says that having Dick Cheney's backing right now would mean that traditional affluent Republicans will hold their nose and vote for Harris. I don't think traditional affluent Republicans want to see America engage in this war with Ukraine any longer. I don't think reasonable, rational, traditional affluent Republicans want to see their money going to fund the war in Ukraine. I think they want to use it at their golf courses. I do. I think they want to use it for their tab at Tavistock. They don't want to see it going and going and going. They're wrong on this point. Don't underestimate this. I mean, don't underestimate the fact that the American people have said enough is enough with this Ukraine stuff. I'm telling you. And I think Cheney endorsing Harris is something that the Democrat Party should turn around and they should say, we don't want his endorsement. But their Trump derangement syndrome is such a thing that they can't understand that he's the symbol of American intervention. He's the symbol of war. He really is. Now, maybe you can say that's unfair, but I think Megyn Kelly was exactly right in what she was saying to him in her takedown of him. And Trump has always been against the Iraq war. You know, this has been one of his things. And maybe you disagree. I mean, maybe you think the war in Ukraine should continue. Okay, but then the question I have for you is, should America be paying for it? Or should this be Europe dealing with it? I mean, if you really want to, if you think that this is a fight worth fighting, then the other question I have is, then shouldn't we win? Now, if this is about stopping Vladimir Putin from then going into Ukraine, winning Ukraine, and then rolling into Poland and taking over Europe, and then shouldn't we do everything we possibly can to win? We're not doing that. So what is it? You know, and then in these countries in Europe that keep buying natural gas from Putin, they can't buy it from us. We stop with our liquid natural gas export. Why are they buying money? Why are they buying energy from Vladimir Putin if they're that worried about the guy? Why isn't Europe stepping up? All these questions. I think these questions matter a lot. But here's James Carville. He's a smart guy. I typically agree with his analysis. I think he's dead wrong on this point, though. He's as dead wrong as Frank Luntz's. Cut 19.
The combination of Liz, Vice President Cheney's endorsement and a bunch of other, I think it's going to give license to some traditional Republicans, probably more fluent areas, you know, but who don't like Trump, that never voted for a Democrat. Well, okay, I can do this. And it's not going to be a huge number of people, but it has the potential to be very helpful. I mean, I can see some of that on the main line. I can see some of that, you know, in parts of Phoenix, you know, critical parts. I can see some of that in Buckhead. I mean, there's plenty of places where we might lose 63-37. We might lose 64. And you, over a period of time, that accumulates. We know that. The theory that small changes lead to big results is absolutely true.
Yeah, and that's Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there are people who said, man, I got to hold my nose. I don't know if I can do this. And, oh, well, damn, Dick Cheney's doing it. I guess I can.
Why? Why? Dick Cheney hates Trump. The swamp hates Trump. They've always hated Trump. They've always tried to bring Trump down. I mean, not just stop him from getting elected, but to undermine and bring down his presidency. Why is it such a shock that Dick Cheney, a guy who made his riches with Halliburton, would want to stop Donald Trump? I mean, why? What? Where's the breaking news here on this? I'm sorry, but when they said Dick Cheney was endorsing Trump, I went, yeah, and I'm shocked by that. The Republican Party has a problem. It's the war faction of the Republican Party. It always has had this problem, and what they don't like is the fact that that faction is not in charge right now. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Trump loses this election, that faction will be back in power in 4 years. Nikki Haley. I mean, that's a great example, right? Nikki Haley is that faction of the party. And that's why she was out there saying, we got to keep going with Ukraine. I think it's a mistake, but it is funny, right? We hate him. He's Darth Vader. He's evil. He's a Sith Lord. He's the worst person, but he's our guy. But now we love him. Now he's ours. Give me a freaking break. These people are such frauds. Terry is in Morristown, New Jersey. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Terry?
Doing okay. Thank you. A couple things. Now, I don't necessarily agree with you that Trump lost the debate. He did lose some opportunities. He could have brought up a few things. But the thing I really wanted to say, how sad this country is going if they would vote for someone that has lied 25 at least times at the debate. We've dropped that low that we're going to put in a liar. That's pretty sad. I don't want my country to go that way.
Yeah, and look, when I say Trump lost, he lost because he could have taken her out and did the final kill shot and ended it in that one night, and he didn't do that for a variety of different reasons, but that's why, you know, I say he lost because he could have ended it right then and there.
But he could have done better, I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think he lost.
Kamala Harris lost. She lost the debate because she had to win over undecided voters, and she did not do that. So she lost.
And the liberals are too stupid to look up what she said and that it's all lies.
Yeah. But let's be clear, though. Kamala Harris lost that debate because Kamala Harris had to win over undecided voters and convince them to trust her on the economy, and she did not do that. So she's the loser in this debate, no question about it.
Great. Have a good one, okay? Take care, Roy.
Thanks, Terry. You too. Uh-huh. I appreciate it very much. Now, look, I'm, you know, it's, I look at these things like a coach looks at his players playing, and I think, man, you know, you could have got that touchdown, and you didn't. And I understand the referees stunk, and I understand that, you know, the wind was whatever, but I knew you could have done better. You could have gotten that. And it would have been over. That's how I approach it. But I'm different. You know, I have a different perspective from this. I was in the room prepping him at one point. I have a different perspective than most people do because I know what he's capable of. And I know what they did to him that night, which is to get under his skin. And that's his weakness right there. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter going forward because she didn't win. And I told you on Monday she didn't have the ability to win. She didn't have the ability to win that debate because there's no kill shot she can fire against Trump because she's never going to be able to separate herself from this economy, from the status quo, from being the incumbent. So Trump is going to win this election. The debate at the end of the day will go on to be something that's talked about, but it's not going to be the thing that matters. And the Trafalgar poll proves that. It does. People say, yeah, she won the debate, but I'm still voting for Trump. So then, did she really win the debate? What's the goal of a debate? Is it to come across with lots of great lines and facial expressions and body language and all that stuff? No. The goal of a debate is to win over undecided voters. That's the job. If you don't do that, you lose. Trump didn't have to do that. That's the difference. Going into that debate stage that night, he did not need to win over undecided voters. Because undecided voters are going to break for him at the end of the day because of the economy. She had to do that. And she did not. So she is the loser in this. Let's be very, very clear on this. That's why I can say it was his worst performance from my perspective, but she still lost. And I know that sounds like it's kind of two contradictory things, but it's really not if you think about it. Had he done a little bit better, it would have been over Johnny, like it's over Johnny, and that would have been the end of it. But it's okay. It's not a big deal. It really isn't. In the big scheme of things, it's not. People are not going to say, I'm going to vote for this economy. I want to keep this economy for another 4 years. Because he said people are eating dogs and cats. The media loves it. They love it. They love it. They love playing that clip over and over again. Jon Stewart had a field day with that. Jon Stewart is a very rich man. And look, I have great respect for Jon Stewart. He's funny, and he does so much for the 9/11 first responders. He has my respect, and he's a Jersey guy. But I disagree with him politically in a lot of things. Jon Stewart, he loves this whole, like, Trump saying they're eating dogs, they're eating cats. And it's funny, and so it makes for good material, and I get it. But the average person who's paying $12, not for cats and dogs, but for eggs or ground beef or chicken or whatever it is to feed their family, they don't care that Trump said that. They don't. They don't. Because the inflation is too much on them and their family. And that's the reality that the media just can't understand. And the reason why they can't understand that is because they live in a different universe. They make a lot of money. And people who make a lot of money can sit back and talk about that stuff, but they don't understand how little it matters. So, 855-839-1210. Kevin's in Chalfont. Kevin.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. It's hard to get through, and that's a testament to how well you and your team are doing. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
A few things, Rich. I'm from Chalfont, so I know my neighbors here, you know, they're on different sides of the spectrum. They're great people. I love them. But they feel the same way that we all feel. It's the economy, and not just the economy. We all have kids who are kind of, you know, from the age of 10, say, to 21, and we're all nervous with war. And like these, we don't get these wars that are going on right now. And so people are very, very nervous about that. And I think, you know, we're in Bucks County. I think Bucks County goes to Trump because, and my friends who are on the other side are like, something's not right here. And when you go to the grocery store and you have four kids and you pay in twice as much, it just doesn't make sense. And it's funny, I grew up in New York, but I moved here in 2019. Everyone initially didn't like me because I'm from New York and have an accent. But eventually, we got to know these neighbors. They're great. And I think it's going to go towards Trump. Now, I don't think Trump won the debate, not because he wasn't better than Kamala Harris. I think he had to be much better.
Yeah,
and
I
that's
agree.
The problem. His bar is so high, and he had to be much better. And I think he won. But I think people who are not really up on current events feel that, hey, they watched it, she held her own, and that was it. I do think Trump wins. I hope he does, because I feel that his policies are better, and I just think he's smarter. I was at a convention out of town, and there's a Trump building. You know, like, it's like this guy and get stuff done. So I don't know why, you know, he's not further ahead, but I understand, you know, like, hey, people just don't like him, but his policies work for us. And then, Rich, if I could ask you a favor. So I moved here in December of 2019, and I'm definitely a Pennsylvanian now. I love the Eagles, by the way. I still have one son. We're trying to move from the Jets to the Eagles. So
keep working on that. Don't give up.
But it was your Dr. Seuss parody of Andrew Cuomo. And I know I brought this up before. If I could just say, you had something about Canadian geese on, I think it was yesterday. Someone was complaining about the Canadian geese.
Yeah.
So if I have a Dr. Seuss parody, if I could just say, it takes like, I don't know, 10 seconds.
Go for it.
That's all right.
Sure.
All right. Canadian geese in the sky. Why'd you do it in my eye? I'm not mad. I'm just glad. washed up whales cannot fly. We vacation down at the Jersey Shore. I have to tell you, Rich, what we see there is not reported at all. Yeah. We're in an area where, you know, Megyn Kelly's there and, you know, a lot of really good people. And it is not reported at all what's happening with the whales and dolphins. So it's an absolute shame.
Well, we're reporting it. Kevin, we're talking about it a lot. You know, we talked about it on Friday at the Grand Hotel with our buddy Congressman Jeff Van Drew. We'll keep all over it, man. Hey, listen, welcome to PA. Glad you're here and glad you escaped the People's Republic of New York. Good for you.
Thank you, Rich. And we listen to you and Kale and Company in the morning every day. So thank you for what you guys do as well.
You bet, buddy. Thank you. 855-839-1210. Can you find that Andrew Cuomo, Dr. Seuss parody? That was mornings. That was years ago.
Yeah, I can try to find it.
I don't even remember. I vaguely remember doing it, but
I don't know how far back the archive goes before I got here.
Yeah. We'll see. We gotta keep all this stuff for posterity. You know what I mean? Problem is, I barely remember what I just said before Frank's phone call. I barely remember Frank's name, let alone when I did that parody or what I even said. You know what I mean? It's the attention span thing is what it is. So, all right, 855-839-1210. Listen, relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. I say that a lot. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. Relationships, the guiding principle on how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo experience, always doing what is right and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And the result is that so many of their customers, myself included, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. And right now, great opportunity to enjoy incredible back-to-school offers from Cherry Hill Volvo. You can lease a 36-month lease on a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 a month. This is a great car. It's a beautiful sedan, fast, stylish, and made right here in the United States of America at their plant in South Carolina. Or how about a 36-month lease on the exciting C40 for only $369 a month? Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Listen, relationships are everything in life, and Judith will make sure that you get the absolute best deal on a Volvo you can, and you will, and you'll love the experience at Cherry Hill Volvo. A 36-month lease on a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 a month? You can't beat that. Go see them today. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'll tell you, this spacewalk by SpaceX, pretty remarkable. This actual spacewalk happened today. Elon Musk's SpaceX, really, truly remarkable stuff. Amazing, actually. Absolutely amazing. The highest that mankind has ever gone. 855-839-1210 is the number. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Merrick Garland is a whiny baby, as you know. He doesn't like the fact that Trump has called out the weaponization of justice. Thanks to Chris for sending this my way. Judge Scott McAfee has just ordered the dismissal of two criminal counts in Fani Willis's RICO case against Donald Trump and his co-defendants. The judge found that Fani Willis did not have the authority to bring the charges against Trump because she is not a federal prosecutor. That just broke a few moments ago. Pretty remarkable stuff right there. All these cases collapse all over. So Trump talked about the weaponization of the Department of Justice at the debate. This is something that there's a theme he's been saying quite a lot, and he should say it because it's true. It's real. It's happening. We know it is. Well, Merrick Garland doesn't like it. How dare you criticize the Department of Justice? How dare you? How dare you say mean things about the DOJ? How dare Donald Trump, a guy who has seen the weaponization of the Department of Justice firsthand, where never in the country's history have we gone after our political enemies in such a manner. But how dare he criticize that? He should just take it like a man and let them destroy him and destroy everyone around him. Here's the attorney general, member who I've told you before is butthurt over the fact that he never got a hearing on the Supreme Court nomination. He's got an axe to grind against Republicans. He's angry. He's bitter. He's partisan. He's the most partisan attorney general we've ever had. And this guy is hell-bent on using the DOJ to go after his political enemies. And he's got a lot of them because it's anyone who didn't support him for the Supreme Court, which was basically every Republican. Cut number two.
A range of public officials across the country. Over the past 3.5 years, there has been an escalation of attacks on the Justice Department's career lawyers, agents, and other personnel.
Oh, stop it right there for a second. Career lawyers like Lisa Page with her Gumata, Peter Strzok, like those kind of career agents, and the two of them, the two lovebirds going back and forth. He can't win. We won't let him. We'll stop him. You mean stuff like that? All the people that went after American citizens by lying to FISA court judges, all those brave patriots, people that raided Mar-a-Lago and put down Fugazi classified document covers to make it seem way worse than it really was, like that, like those people. Okay, great. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, far beyond scrutiny, criticism, and legitimate and necessary oversight of our work. These attacks have come in the form of conspiracy theories, dangerous falsehoods, efforts to bully and intimidate career public servants by repeatedly and publicly singling them out, and threats of actual violence.
Oh, stop it with the threats of
violence. Through your work, you have made clear that the Justice Department will not be intimidated by these attacks. But it is dangerous.
Let's stop it right there. You know what tyrants do, by the way? They try to silence speech under the guise of, well, somebody might make a threat. Prior restraint. And if you're a fan of The Big Lebowski, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. The Supreme Court has roundly rejected prior restraint. But the point is this. This idea that we're going to silence our critics, we're going to silence people because some whack job may make a death threat. That's not how we do things in this country. We have a long history of criticizing our government in this country. It's something that we pride ourselves on as Americans. And you absolutely have the First Amendment right to do so. And I'm so sick of these whiny tyrants who go out there and go, oh, well, somebody made a threat, so therefore you shouldn't criticize the DOJ. Give me a freaking break. Listen, somebody makes a threat, now they've crossed the line, you prosecute them for that. But you're not going to silence me because some whack job made a threat against somebody. Probably a threat made from his basement that he didn't even mean. That's beside the point. You shouldn't make threats. I mean that sincerely. You should not. Obviously, we know that. But isn't it convenient how they use that as their excuse to shut down speech? And they do it all the time. It's like when AOC tried to have Libs of TikTok taken off because somebody saw a post from Libs of TikTok and called it a bomb or something like that. Stop. Stop. It's not how we do things in this country. We don't silence our critics because somebody may hear something and then may make a threat. All right. The Department of Justice deserves absolute scrutiny. No different than when Frank Church went after the FBI in the 1970s and talked about the weaponization of the FBI. No different from uncovering the FBI's abuses of spying on civil rights leaders. No different from any of that. We have to hold our government accountable, but people in power don't want you to hold your government accountable because it means holding them accountable, and they don't like that. Keep going.
Outrageous that you have to endure them. It is dangerous to target and intimidate individual employees of this department solely for doing their jobs.
No one's doing that.
And
who's doing that?
It is outrageous that you have to face these unfounded attacks because you are doing what is right and upholding the rule of law. You deserve better. You deserve gratitude.
Aw, thank you. Thank you for helping to weaponize our justice system. Thank you for using it to target our political enemies. Thank you. Yay! We're so proud of you. Stop it. Stop. And we're not talking about the everyday men and women of the Justice Department. We're talking about guys like you. We're talking about the cronies at the top. That's the other little obfuscation they try to do here, is to act like we're talking about, you know, Betty, the receptionist at the FBI. Like, enough. Or the agents in the field or whoever else. And government abuses its power. You call out government. That's what you have a responsibility to do in our system of government. You have a responsibility to do that. And only tyrants want to silence people who do so. And, you know, if that was Trump going out there and saying those things, that's exactly what they would say about him. He's a tyrant who doesn't want you to criticize his administration. Garland says it, and he'll be leading all the newscasts tonight with, you know, Merrick Garland with a stern warning about how his employees are under constant threat. Like, give me a break. Where are these credible threats? Where are they? I don't mean just like nonsense of people posting things online or stupid things. Where are the actual real threats against individual members of the Department of Justice? I want to see these things. Oh, they don't exist, do they? No, they don't. And every attorney general has bodyguards for a reason, because there are a lot of crazy people out there who come under the crosshairs of the Justice Department who, yeah, they do want to hurt people. We're not talking about those people either. We're not talking about criminals who want to kill a U.S. attorney because they put him away in prison or put their gang away. I'm not talking about that. And he knows better. What he's talking about are people like Donald Trump, who have the temerity, the tenacity, how dare they, criticize the DOJ for being weaponized. And this is a weaponized Department of Justice. And I have news for you. It's been like that for a very long time. As evidence of that, look at what Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, what they did in 2016 trying to stop Trump. And has there been any consequences? Have you gotten in trouble for that? No. No. Nobody gets in trouble for any of this stuff. Here's Garland, cut three.
Or political party. In short, we must treat like cases alike. There is not one rule for friends and another for foes. One rule for the powerful and another for the powerless. One rule for the rich and another for the poor. One rule for Democrats and another for Republicans, or different rules depending on one's race or ethnicity. To the contrary, we have only one rule. We follow the facts and apply the law in a way that respects the Constitution and protects civil liberties.
Who's civil liberties? Trump's civil liberties, the Republican nominee for president who you're still trying to put away behind bars, the guy who was running for president of the United States, his civil liberties, or the civil liberties of George Papadopoulos, Carter Page, their civil liberties. Or the countless January 6th defendants who did nothing other than just walk into the United States Capitol building, which last time I checked was a public building. Like those people? Give me a break. Give me a break. Garland talks about norms are a promise that we will not allow this department to be used as a political weapon. Dude, your whole department is a gigantic political weapon. Who are you kidding? Cut four.
Over the past 3.5 years, I have spoken to you often about the importance of these norms. I know that to many outside of this department, they may seem abstract or even inconsequential. They are anything but, and they must not be taken for granted. For us, adhering to these policies, principles, and norms in everything we do is how we fulfill the promise that is foundational to our democracy, that all people will be protected equally under the law, and that all people will be held accountable equally under the law. Our norms are a promise that we will fiercely protect
this guy's
the independence
something.
Of this department.
Enough of you. You know, you remember what they tried to do with Hunter Biden? Don't ever forget this, please. Don't ever forget what they tried to do with Hunter Biden when they tried to bury all of Hunter Biden's financial crimes under the gun diversion agreement, where the judge would not have the ability to reject that plea agreement. Remember that. Rolling it all into a gun diversion agreement so that the judge would have no ability to reject it. It was only by using Jedi mind tricks that she was able to get Hunter Biden's idiotic legal team to reject it. This Department of Justice tried to cover all of that up. So stop. Enough already. And by the way, the FBI is seriously undercounting firearm self-defense incidents in this country. John Lott, we've had on the show a number of times. He's fantastic. John Stossel has a piece about this at Reason.com. And it turns out that a couple million times a year, people use guns defensively, and the FBI is not counting that. You know why? Because this administration is political in everything that they do. His book, More Guns, Less Crime, is fantastic. And John Lott says the following. He says they're simply missing a huge number of cases. He posted a list of cases the FBI ignored where civilians stopped shooters. He said the FBI lists the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. 49 people were killed. 1 week afterwards, says Lott, there was a similar attack in a nightclub in South Carolina, but there a civilian shot the attacker. Still had 125 rounds of ammunition on him when he was stopped. Somehow the FBI missed that case along with so many others. When 17 people were killed in Parkland, Florida, that got lots of news coverage. Few people know that just a few months later in Titusville, Florida, an elementary school, a man came up and started firing his gun. Fortunately, a hot dog vendor with a concealed handgun was able to wound the attacker and stop him before he was able to kill. Stepped in and saved a lot of people's lives, said a local police officer that day. But the FBI missed that too. Lott's list of ignored cases by the Federal Bureau of Investigation of people using guns for self-defense or to stop bad guys to protect other people includes the story of Raul Mendez, who was at a party when a guest opened fire. Bullet enters right by my ear, goes straight through my face and out my left eye. Blind from one eye and covered in blood, I unloaded 4 rounds and finished him off. Mendez probably saved the lives of a dozen people at that party. The FBI records instances like this, but somehow they have no record of your case. They're not recording the true numbers, that guy Mendez replied. So John Stossel asked John Lott why. He said there's a lot of political views that infect their data. I had interactions with the people in the FBI. I had people tell me, well, I'm a Democrat. I push back. The FBI who carry guns are anti-gun? Come on, it's not believable. He said they think that it would go against the narrative that they want to push. Stossel asked John Lott and asked the FBI actually why they don't include self-defense cases like Mendez's. They replied that their data is not intended to explore all facets of active shooter incidents. But they certainly record all the bad guys with guns, and they push that narrative a lot. This is the most political Department of Justice ever. I mean, you cannot escape that fact. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. We got a lot to talk about. Tulsi Gabbard destroys Taylor Swift's endorsement, but the media, oh, they're loving it. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Taylor Swift, I got to talk about migrants. There's a lot of migrant crime. Believe it or not, it's true. There are migrant gangs in this country. I got a ton of stories on that today in my stack of stuff. Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua expands its deadly reach to the U.S., Wall Street Journal. California considers a phone bill discount for undocumented immigrants. Dem Representative Nadler slammed for appearing to doze off during testimony from families who've been affected by migrant crime. Father of boy killed by Haitian in Springfield says he wished his son, was killed by a, pull up the story here, my computer just froze up, says he wished his son was killed by a 60-year-old white man. Share that story with you as well. And the Ohio governor takes action after Springfield residents speak out about 20,000 Haitian migrant influx. And I have a clip for you from a Florida TV station. Let's share that, shall we? This is from, that's, what is this now? I sent this to you, right, Matt? I sent it to you.
I don't remember.
Did I send it to you? I thought I did.
Wait, was that from yesterday?
No, it was today, I thought.
I think it was yesterday. Give
was
me
it
a
yesterday?
Second. I can pull it up. Yeah, I have it somewhere.
I got a bunch of Kamala Harris clips, too. Do I want to play these, or do I want to beat my head against the table?
I mean, can both...
Bleed out on YouTube.
Can both be true?
Oh, you know, my buddy Steve Pacerduni reminded me that Peter and Lisa, Peter Strozak, Lisa Page, got $1 million lawsuit apiece that they filed against the government. That's right. They not only did not get in trouble for what they did, they got $1 million apiece. Good for them. Aw, love... No, I thought did I not send you that story? It's from a local Florida station about gangs. Did I not send that?
Yeah, I remember it. It's definitely from yesterday.
The days just run together, don't they? All right, we'll get it for the 5 o'clock hour. Let me play this for you. This is Tulsi Gabbard destroying the Taylor Swift endorsement. Good for Tulsi. By the way, if you follow me on social media, Instagram, Zioli Show, put a little thing of me and Tulsi together. Cut number 9.
Her statement was that she has confidence in Kamala Harris because she is steady-handed and a gifted leader.
Mm.
So I'm going to use one of many examples to debunk that thesis.
Mm-hmm.
A serious issue. There are over 320,000 migrant children that Kamala Harris lost in this country, many of whom are likely being trafficked and used and abused today.
Mm-hmm.
If Taylor Swift is so caring and wanting a gifted leader, Kamala Harris is not her person.
I'll go a step further and say that she's a billionaire who charges way too much for her concerts. Most middle-class people can't afford to take their kids to see Taylor Swift. And I don't think Taylor Swift's endorsement matters much at all. But the media, oh man, are they gaga over this? They are gaga. Proving that they are Swifties, NBC News. I got a couple clips of that I'm going to share with you in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to point this out, though. You know, when you look at the polling data after this debate, and you see that Kamala Harris, and this is what the Trafalgar poll showed and what I've been saying, and this has been a key point here. Yes, it's true. Voters think Harris won, and yet they're not voting for her. Why? Because their idea, their definition of winning is not the correct definition. This is the point. This is why I say to you, you have to define it. If this was a college debate, she won. Absolutely. She would have won, no doubt. But only if the professor was not really, really using what the true metric of debating should be, which is persuasion. Debates are about persuasion. At least they should be. It's not about beating your opponent. See, people don't really get that point. A good debate is not about beating your opponent. It's about persuasion. Persuading the crowd to your side of thinking. I'll give you a great example of this. The greatest debate in the history of our country, in my opinion, the Lincoln-Douglas debates are a great example of this. Abraham Lincoln wasn't trying to beat Douglas in the sense of beating him in a debate. He was trying to persuade people to his way of thinking. That's what a debate is supposed to be. It's about persuasion. And when you understand the ways you persuade, there's three classic methods that Socrates, or Aristotle, or Plato, one of those smart guys, came up with: logos, ethos, and pathos, logic, passion, emotion. Use those to persuade people to your side of thinking. If you can't persuade them over, you haven't won. It doesn't matter how good you sound. It doesn't matter how well you come across. It doesn't matter how bad your opponent comes across. You haven't won if you have not persuaded people over to you. Kamala Harris did not persuade people over to her. period. 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.